The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 579. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
One more time, Manny. Say it again.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley. Hey, what's going on, everyone? Carlos Romero.
Sup, people? How's it going?
And Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
All right, good stuff. Let's make sure our audio is good here. All right, because again, I'm still working out the kinks, but I think we should be good.
I was hoping that Richard also my catchphrase.
That would be funny. But yeah, guys, again, I'm still testing out this new setup. So let us know if anything sounds weird or looks weird, you know. But I think we should be good now. But we'll see what happens. Even I already see something fucking up. Oh man, it's always something, you know. Anyway, we're back with another question show. Shout out to Mr. Michael Santiago in the chat.
What's up, Michael?
Kiss Shack in the house, you know, and of course Barry Burton holding down, make sure zombies don't sneak in, you know.
Don't let the dead get in.
Yes, those bastards. All right, man, let's get into it, man. Question, I'm just going to read these off and as in the order they came, because it was kind of I call these a grab bag episode, you know, because as we said on the Thursday show, not a lot happened this week. Very slur.
A lot happened this week, but some things are happening next week.
Very pragmatic of you to say that. All right, George, first up, George W. Cush, and he actually starts us off with a comment. He goes, hey, guys, hope you had a good week. He goes, first of all, I'd like to thank you for answering last week's question about open worlds. They were all great and made me rethink whether I really want to play one. I realize my problem with Rebirth isn't the size of the open world, but the fact that Chadley interrupts you for every single interaction in that world. Yeah, it's very insistent. It's like, dude, shut up. I want to just play the game, you know. But again, man, you know, yes, playing open world games very, you know, demanding it can be. So the way you could approach it is either just, you know, just eat it, you know, one bite at a time like an elephant, even if it takes a year, or don't play him. You know, that's pretty much it.
Is Chadley the nerd?
Yes, I believe he is the nerd kid.
Oh yeah, I get it, man. Because yeah, I played maybe a couple of the first couple of hours of Rebirth. Yeah, he kept showing up, man. I'm like, yo, chill.
You better chill.
I got my satellites for my antennas.
Man. Anyway, so Mr. Cush's question here. This is an interesting one. What is your favorite game that you tried, thought wasn't for you, dropped, and then came back to a couple of years later to find out it's amazing that you just weren't in the mood for it before? Mine is Red Dead 2. Released in 2018. I played 2023. And loved that game. So 5 years took him to realize he liked that game. Very interesting.
I wonder if it's because it's open world and then maybe there's the same conundrum.
Excuse me? Maybe.
I mean, it could be that thing, but sometimes, you know, it could be the fact that, there's a bunch of different factors. Could be
that. Anyway, May, do you have a game like this?
I don't know, but there was one. I was thinking about the one that you sort of reevaluated years
ago. Yeah. This is the only, I'll speak on it since I'm talking about it. It wasn't years though. It was like a couple of months. And it's not one of my favorite games. It's a game I like. Cause the question is specifically what your favorite game. So I actually don't have one of those, but yes, it was with Journey. Cause Journey came out when Mass Effect 3 came out, I was in Mass Effect 3 mode. I wasn't even thinking about that shit. So I didn't like it that much. I came back to it a few months later and I'm like, oh, this game's fantastic. But I never had an instance where I played a game. Then I came back years later and I liked it. I'm like, I don't think that's happened, you know, and it became one of my favorite games. That's never happened before. Generally speaking, there's exceptions. Generally speaking, if I don't like a game initially, I don't like it, period.
Yeah.
You know? Go ahead.
For me, it's a weird one because I don't – usually I'm pretty, you know, good at, you know, sort of gauging what I'm, you know, what I'm liking and disliking. And I think the only real game that I've really, like, just, you know, like – outright bought because of I feel like it was because of what it was is Lords of Shadow. And I there is no reevaluating that game. Like I hated every moment of that game. But I was like, you know, at the of the mind, like, hey, maybe it'll get better.
No.
It never got any better. It's just worse and worse. The biggest one on that one was just how bad the controls ended up being. You there's this one section where you have to do this slide and you have to do this jump and then jump onto like a ledge, and he would never fucking catch a ledge, and grabbing ledges is automatic in that fucking game. So you jump on a ledge, he automatically jumps on it. Anyway,
real quick,
flashbacks from the war.
Yeah. Michael Santiago says, mine is Kingdom Come Deliverance. I just beat it yesterday on the Steam Deck. It's one of my favorite games of all time now. It's right up there with Skyrim. Damn. But yeah, that's a good example. You know, a game that you didn't like initially. I played that one. I don't know if I came back to it, I don't think I'll like it anymore. But I appreciate the effort they put into it. I'll go down the line here. Carlos, do you have a game that fits this criteria?
I can't really think of one. I mean, you know, there's a lot of games that I stopped playing for reasons that are not related to me not liking it, and then come back years later and love the game, but not I hated the game and then rage quit and then came back to it and then I was like, oh shit, this is incredible. The only here's going to be a future for the an example for the future. In 3 or 4 years, maybe even less, they're going to fix Resident Evil 6. Oh, they're going to do a remake.
A remake.
And it's going to be good. That's the only way I can think about this ever coming true. Like, Resident Evil 6, I rage quit. I saw the potential in the game, but it was just not good. But if they remade it right, it could be good. I mean, and it's Capcom. You know, they're on a roll. They're pragmatists at this time.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
No, I can't think of an existing example though.
Yeah. Chris, do you have anything?
No, not that I came back to that I liked. I remember Manny Sullenbeck, Lords of Shadow, and I thought the second one was even worse. The second one a chance.
Trash.
That game is trash, yeah. And I remember I sold one of the few games I ever sold back to GameStop was Batman. Way back. Batman, I thought, because, you know, animated series was fucking awesome. So, I, you know, the game had the style and everything. I thought it was good. Game was trash. I kept it. I tried it again. I never had an experience where I came back to a game and went, I unfairly judge this. This is amazing. I don't think I've ever had that experience.
No. Yeah, because even with me with Journey, I knew I would like the game, but I knew I wasn't in the right headspace. I was already aware of what was happening, you know?
Yeah.
I've never had that experience where I'm like, oh, wow, like, why didn't I realize his potential? It's like, no, my instincts are always pretty spot on about this stuff, you know?
Hey, Carlos, you got to give Mortal Kombat Mythology Sub-Zero a second chance.
You know?
To quote a great philosopher... Oh, hell no.
Oh, man. Before we go on to Rich Manny, what were you saying?
I was going to say, I think like the thing that hurt me for you is the fact that you came in.
Well, that's what I said, Mass Effect. I was in full-on Mass Effect mode, you know?
I think you usually sort of play games, like once you play through a game and then you know, you don't like overlap things.
Yeah. Much. To be fair, I wasn't overlapping. I had already beaten Mass Effect 3, but I still had it on my mind, you know, and then I went back. So I guess you could consider that overlap because I wasn't done yet. You know, Mass Effect, I had to play that shit at least 3 times.
It's like, man, what is this? What is
yo,
this?
Yo, man, they got endings? How many? They got 3 endings.
What is this desert game? Man, this game is trash. Blah.
Yeah. Yeah, but Rich, do you have a game that fits this criteria?
Well, I will say this, and this is going to be a controversial pick. I have a game. I can't say that I rage quit the game, But I can say I was thoroughly disappointed with it to the point that I decided to do a podcast with our good friend Gary Swaby about it. And I'm talking about Cyberpunk 2077. When that game launched on console, complete dog shit. And I was not happy with that because, I remember I was playing on PlayStation. And of course, I started playing the game. I was unable to really get into it because there were so many issues. But then, of course, I came back with the Phantom Liberty DLC. And then right after I finished that, I got back into the game and I really enjoyed it. So, But again, I wouldn't say that I rage quit it. It's just that this is an example of a game being released way too early. They needed to fix a lot of stuff with that game. And I was not feeling it on console. Now, on PC, I understand it was way better on PC. So, that was when I learned I need to get a PC. So there it is.
Yeah, Rich. And I kind of went through the same thing you did. But I knew I was going to love this game. I just waited because I wanted it to get fixed. I was like, I want to have the complete experience, maybe not bug free because there's always bugs, but you know, as minimized bugs as possible. So I just waited, and it turned out to be one of my favorite games. But same thing as you, Rich.
So a quick question, Carlos, since you brought that very topic to this conversation, is this how you feel about Crimson Desert? We would love to hear your thoughts on this game, because this is the game of the generation, I heard.
Well, here's the thing, Rich. I played the game, and I'm going through the same withdrawals Tony did when he was reviewing it. And it's specific.
I don't think withdrawals is the right word, because I didn't have withdrawals. I was happy when I left that motherfucker, you know?
Well, here's the thing. Man. I enjoy the game. I just know that it's going to consume every ounce of me. And we have a lot of games coming out in the coming days, some pragmatic games that are going to come out that I want to play. And I don't want to be in hour 4 or 5 of me playing this game and putting it on pause. So I said, or at least for like hour 10 or whatever. So I was like, I'll just pause here in hour 4 or 5. And I'll pick it up, you know, in the future. And one of the good things, it's like these guys are adding new features, fixing stuff, making things more user friendly by the minute. So yeah, I'm pretty sure whenever I get back to this later on in the year, it's going to be a way better experience to play.
Yeah, for sure. All right. That was a good question. Let's move on here, Mr. Mob Hits. And this one's actually like our featured question. With this weekend's rumors that Xbox is planning to not have this year's Call of Duty on Game Pass, do you guys think the pivot came sooner than expected and that this will also set them up to move away from Game Pass? If you hadn't heard, you know, rumors are percolating, I would say as early as Friday, you know, it's like, basically that, you know, because this has kind of been a public thing already. Asha Sharma was like, you know, Game Pass might be a little too expensive. And people were like, how the hell could they lower the price? And on this very show, you know, we said, hey, there's one way to lower Game Pass price. Get rid of Call of Duty. Don't put it on Game Pass. And now Mr. Jess Corden is, reporting that is indeed going to happen. Obviously, huge rumor. We don't know what's going to happen. But I think that'll do it. And it also, if they do it, it'll confirm our belief that the reason it costs $30 is because of Call of Duty, you know, which is ironic because Xbox had once said, us putting Call of Duty on Game Pass will not raise the price. Very interesting, you know. If they do this, I think it was smart, but they could have their cake and eat it too, right? You have one tier, the super ultra mega tier. With Call of Duty day one, and then you have one without it. Although I suspect they probably just won't do that. I think they'll just go, $20 the top one. You just don't get Call of Duty. Especially, you know, as we saw that Call of Duty was negatively affected because it was on Game Pass. It didn't sell as many copies. Because, again, obviously, why would you buy a game you could effectively get for free? I know you pay $20 a month or whatever, but, yeah, that's what I... So, again, we'll have to see. what happens, but I think this is a very strong rumor. So what do you guys say?
Sounds like a strong rumor, but at the same time, it's like, you know, definitely would make the make Game Pass more competitive, right? But I realize it's like that's the unfortunate thing about their own service, that they need to wall off exclusives like that so that people continue to go buy them. In the end, it just proves the biggest factor of all of this, that people need to buy.
Yep.
You know, and it's you know, granted, you know, like, again, we see, keep hearing the best deal in gaming and all that sort of stuff. You know, when you start releasing day and date sort of things, you essentially undermine your own service, because there's no reason for somebody to go out and buy it.
Yeah. By the way, Barry Burton, get rid of the trash, please, in the comments. Anyway, it's nothing big. It's just spam bullshit. No, but yeah, I agree that has been hurting him. By the way, Mob Hits is very adamant that they're not going to do this. We'll see, man. I think they will.
I mean, you know? Again, they need something in the, as Adam would say, they gotta have something. And they need, you know, that they're. Even if the games on, you know, once the certain games run their course and then they pop up on the Game Pass, and then they sort of do that like some games, what they did was they sort of piecemeal. They did said some were on Game Pass and some weren't on Game Pass. I think they really need to evaluate what those sought after titles are, and, you know, omit them from Game Pass.
Yeah, what was this thing Phil said, like case by case?
Anyway. Buy them.
Something happened. Yeah. Basis, yeah. Anyway, what about the rest of you guys? What do you say?
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, that would be the only or one of the few scenarios where it could justify the price, kind of. I mean, obviously, $30 a month is still way too much, even with Call of Duty. But yeah, I mean, if they revert to the price to the regular price from last year, but they take off Call of Duty, I don't know what that would do to them, to be honest.
Sticky situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't want to be in those meetings.
Yeah. What do you say, Chris?
I agree. It's it's like the simplest to get them, I guess, back on track, because like Manny said, you have to get your exclusive to sell, and at the same time try to lower the cost of Game Pass. So you have this dual problem. The simplest solution is just like excise some of the titles from it, and, you know, so that you start to gain revenue from them, you can cut the cost of Game Pass. But what they have to do is incentivize some of the other publishers to incorporate the Game Pass, which is hard to do because I think a lot of them realize they take a loss on it. I don't know how you do that. Yeah, it is a difficult. It's kind of a win-lose, because if you don't have a draw for Game Pass, then you're going to lose subscribers. Like, Call of Duty is a draw. It's sold, but you already offered it. So it's like, do you put that genie back in the bottle? You're already offering it. So if you take it away, people are going to notice. But at the same time, if you can make a deal with a third-party publisher for a large title, like, you never get a GTA or something like that, but I can't think of an example, but something like that. Like, if Pragmata, if they convince Capcom, like, Pragmata's day one game, that'd be something.
That'd be crazy. Shout out to Mr. Brett, who's joining us.
What up, Irish? Hello.
There you go. So Brett, just to catch up. So the question we're answering right now is that there's rumors that Xbox Game Pass may lower the price to $20 by removing Call of Duty from day one. I don't know if you heard that rumor, but what would you think of that if it happened?
I mean, maybe I'm hanging out all the branches here where I shouldn't, but like, why not just make it its own thing?
What do you mean?
It's not like they bought Call of Duty. They own Call of Duty. They can make their money from Call of Duty. Like, but why not just separate it from Game Pass? Because there's a bunch of people that don't necessarily want Game Pass. But they want Call of Duty. There's a lot of people that want Game Pass that don't want Call of Duty. So just, you know, instead of just lowering the price, just separate it out so that, you know, Call of Duty can just be like a $10 a month thing. Warcraft lived that way, like on $15 a month for fucking years.
Yeah.
So like, just let it be its own little $10 a month. You know, as long as you're paying your $10, you can. And for like somebody jamming like 40 hours a week on fucking Call of Duty, you know, as long as that keeps them up to date on whatever new expansions, maps, whatever, like, as long as that is your weekly subscription to always be playing the latest Call of Duty, then I don't fucking see a problem with that. But I'm not a Call of Duty fan, but at the same time, like, again, I played WoW for years, so I don't think $10 a month is that bad. I think if you pull them apart, somebody can subscribe to both. It's just give people options, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that would be interesting. Like, you have the $20 Game Pass, and then, hey, Call of Duty here for $10, you know? That would be interesting.
I mean, you could probably wrap up like Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, whatever the fuck you can get in there that's yeah. Call of Duty-like, right? Your FPS shooter, you know, your competitive shooter pack, right? Like, so, you know, you could even call it, like, you know, competitive gaming or whatever. Like, it's your online competitive gaming suite of...
Uh-oh. Did we lose him?
Uh-oh.
Like...
There he is.
Because, you know, shit like Call of Duty and PUBG is like a fucking thing all on its own.
Yeah. Now I hear you. Rich, do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, this is going to be very interesting to see how this story plays out. I do like Brett's scenario of making Call of Duty its own thing so that there has to be something that Microsoft is getting out of this aside from just making it come to every platform. So, yeah, but I will say this, though. I think it's very interesting. I believe I heard both Chris and Carlos said Game Pass has no value, but yet these guys are waiting for Fable and which other game? Oh yeah, Halo, the new Halo game. You guys say you're getting that day one, so very interesting because that will be on Game Pass.
Don't forget about Forza; they're going to Japan.
Oh yeah, Forza, definitely Forza, 1000%.
That's funny. By the way, breaking news. Uh-oh. Not gaming related, but Tuesday we're gonna get our first tease of Godzilla minus zero. Godzilla minus zero minus
Kata. Skill man.
Oh wait. Well, give me 1 second. Godzilla minus one minus Kata.
Minus Kata. Good stuff. Anyway, move on here. Another one from Mr. Mob Hits. Out of all the games Xbox has planned to release this year, which one should Xbox absolutely focus on the most? Very interesting. If it comes out, Gears, you know, E-Day, that'll be crazy.
Yeah, E-Day.
Although Forza is a pretty good one too, Japan, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would say if it comes out. And you know what? Of the confirmed games, I'll say Forza because we don't know if Gears is going to come out or not, you know, or Fable. We don't know if that's going to come out or not. Go ahead, Rich.
Okay, I'm gonna jump in here with my comment. It's Gears. It has to be Gears because this game, to quote our very good friend of the show, Mr. Adam Vale, they've been working on this Gears game for forever. You know, obviously they were working on Gears 6 and then they pivoted into this. But, yeah, this game has been in development for a minute, and I do think it is coming this year because, again, they're having that that little developer event right after the Xbox showcase. Normally, when they have something, at, you know, a developer event right after that Xbox showcase, the game does come out in the fall. So, and this year is actually the anniversary of the first Gears of War. So if they miss this, that's a massive L. But to go to your point, Tony, Fable... That definitely ain't coming out this year.
Yeah.
We predicted that. On this very show, we said, ain't no way in hell that's coming out this year. And I heard there is a rumor that might get, that has been internally delayed and is probably not coming out until spring because of GTA. But again, not that's confirmed. That's what I heard, though. Yeah.
Yeah. What about the rest of you guys? What do you think is the game that Xbox should focus on the most this year?
I agree with...
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I agree with everything that has just been said. Gears. Yeah.
I thought I heard Brett get in there. I don't know if he did or not.
Yeah, if I wasn't going to say anything important. I was going to say, like, I don't even fucking know the exact... I gave up keeping track of what's coming because, you know, none of it matters and it could actually not happen. Like, I'm in this weird place where street dates are a fart in the wind. Right? Damn. So it's...
You're treating it like the old days, man. You know, when game comes out, you're like, hey, holy shit, this game just came out. This is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much where you go. Like, we got into this weird place where, like, there's so much bullshit noise. And, like, it's not even, like, all dead internet theory or AI or anything like that. It's just fucking liar companies. That it's just, yeah, gone back to 1991. I don't know. I want to see what comes out when it comes out. And, like, yeah, it looks pretty cool. Like, beyond that, it's, I don't know how to say this other than, you know, really angrily and pointedly. They've made their bed in that they've put us in this position where this is the only responsible answer to be like, I don't know. As far as I know, nothing's fucking coming out.
Fair enough. Anyway, Carlos, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I agree with Gears, just because, you know, the last couple of Gears have lost a little bit of the luster with Xbox, and it's supposed to be one of their tentpole games where, you know, we're Halo, Gears, and Forza. And Forza, for the most part, still kind of carries that. Halo is in the dumps. So Gears, I mean, you got to reestablish yourself as one of the premier franchises in gaming. And I don't think if it doesn't work with this one, I don't see how they can recuperate. Yeah. And this one is going to be easy because it's going back to the beginning, you know, with the characters everyone loves.
Yeah, right. They better not fuck it up, but we'll see.
We'll fuck it up.
All right. Next up, this one's interesting. So this is from one of our longtime listeners, loyal fan, Mr. Sir Rich-a-Lot, but they're not directly questions from him. He says, I'm submitting two questions on behalf of Battle Beast. Now, I had no idea that Battle Beast was listening to Throwdown, but I'm very honored, you know, and I hope this means he won't kill all of us.
Well, so, Tony, I'm pretty sure. Tony, I'm surprised that you're surprised that you think you're surprised that Battle Beast is a fan of a show called Throwdown.
That is true. You know, I guess he enjoys the battles. Oh, man. And interestingly enough, this first question is for me. And Rich, you could answer this one as well. Anybody else who played the beta. Regarding the Invincible versus Open Beta, which fighter or fighters are your favorite so far? Yeah, I enjoyed, you know, because I don't want to get my head chopped off. I enjoyed Battle Beast a lot. Very brutal character. I also enjoyed, you know, just going to be honest, I enjoyed Invincible because he's very well balanced. I also like Adam Eve because she has like really good like keep away attacks. And then Alan the Alien, just because it's Alan the Alien and he's fun to me, you know? So that was like my main team. Those, because it's a 3v3 game. But yeah, Battle Beast, Invincible, and Adam Eve. That's an interesting, like, it would be better if like the third, if I like Rexplode more, so it would make more sense, but he's okay. You know, he's all right. Monster Girl's cool, but you know, kind of slow for me. Big grappler type. Omni-Man's pretty good. I can't compare him to how he is in Mortal Kombat because I didn't play that one. But yeah, those are my three favorites. And Rich, what about you? Who are your three favorites in the beta?
Okay, yeah, so because I also do not want to get my head chopped off, yeah, Battle Beast, number one, obviously, 1,000%. Like you said, he is an actual beast. And like I had mentioned before, when I was playing as him, I whooped up on some people. But then when I went against somebody who also played as Battle Beast, I got my ass whooped. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. I kind of like Fula to a degree. She's cool. Her hair, I know when I was talking with the devs, they were basically saying the hair is kind of like, think of like Scorpion, the way he uses his spear. In Mortal Kombat. And I said, yeah, I could see that because she'd be tearing people up with her hair. So, yeah, that's cool. If I pick one more, yeah, I definitely think it's Invincible. Obviously, the main character. Just very easy to play as all these characters. I'm looking forward to obviously trying out the others who were not in the beta because I want to see how they handle those characters. But, yeah, I like the game. I like a lot of the characters, so looking forward to it.
Good stuff. Did anybody else get to check out the beta while it was live?
No, unfortunately.
Oh, well. But
no, I didn't.
Yeah,
I didn't get a chance. But I do have a question. Is Mark and Nolan very like a Ryu Ken type of situation, or is it they're kind of similar?
Yeah. They don't really play the same. You know, Mark's like faster. And he has different moves and stuff. So it's not like a palette swap, if that's what you mean.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All the Viltrumites, there's like three in this demo. They all play very different from one another, which is good. So I'm going to assume Conquest also plays very different as well when he's in the main game, you know, Conquest. Anyway, moving on. Next question. Also from, Battle Beast. Which upcoming April game release are you most looking forward to? This one's easy. I'll answer for some of you right now. Pragmata.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
That's it.
That's it. That's the game.
That's it.
That's the one.
I don't know. I
mean, this is it.
I did some fan art. That should probably tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. There are some others, though. Heternal, as we like to call them. That's coming out April 30th. That's the one Richard's waiting for. Right, Rich?
Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to the game, but I will say this. I'm going to give an honorable mention to the He-Man game.
Yes.
Because, again, that's another game coming out at the very end of the month. So, you know, yeah.
And, Rich, I'll give another honorable mention, and we just finished talking about it also on the same day, Invincible Versus dropping.
Yes.
April 30th. So this month is definitely going to end up strong.
And if I can answer an honorable mention for Rich, Mouse PI for Hire.
Ooh.
Yes. Yep. That's also coming out at, like, literally in a couple of days.
Yep. I think this week, right? This upcoming week.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The day before Pragmata.
it's a micro Gamageddon.
And I'll answer this next one. For Riku, even though I believe this is on a platform he doesn't even own, Memories of Chancleta is coming out for the Switch. So there you go. What?
It's getting remade?
Yeah, it's like a port. It's a port. It's a port.
Gotta have something. Yeah.
There's a bunch of other games coming out for the rest of the month, but I don't know what he needs. But yeah, Sorrows, that's going to be a big one. Invincible Versus and Pragmata, you know, for the rest of the month. Some games are dropping. Ain't that something?
Wait, I see something. Oh, never mind. This already came out. I saw Pokemon Champions. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I see Pokemon games every month now, it looks.
Probably. Diablo 4 looks like he's getting an expansion.
Another one?
I guess. Is that what this is? Lord of Hatred? Yeah, Lord of Span yeah, is ex- yeah, yeah, it's a, yeah, Lord of Hatred is a major expansion pack for the game. Okay, so there you go. Very, and literally says expand. I'm reading this off at Wikipedia's. Interesting. So there you go. All right. And the last two questions of the night from Mr. Assyrian Air Force. He goes, hello, everyone. Hope all is well. Yeah, doing good. Doing good. Doing good.
Yeah.
All right. This one's interesting. What is everyone's favorite new IP since 2016?
Manny,
should I answer for you?
I got
you're muted. This may not be it, but you praise it a lot. Hi-Fi Rush, that's a new IP.
Yeah, there you go. Answered it for me.
Yay!
I'll go with Elden Ring.
Excuse me.
What's up? Like Elden Ring is a pretty easy one.
I see. You want to take this one from me too? Why you taking them?
Is that Elden Ring?
Okay, good.
There you go.
He's like, yes, your test has been passed. You now know me.
Someone's jumping. That's not new. Yes, it is.
Yep. And if they do, I'm going to answer with Absolver. Boom. No.
realize like almost every, you know, most of the From Software games are all new. Like, they're all new IPs. Yeah. Bloodborne's its own IP. Elden Ring's its own IP. Demon's Souls. All their own separate IPs. Granted, they do have similar things that go between them. Sekiro. But they're all IPs. Yeah. Sekiro. Yeah.
Game of the year, Sekiro.
Yeah. All right, keep going, guys. I have to look at something. Like, I can't. Cyberpunk doesn't count. That's not really a new IP. But at the same time, there's never been another Cyberpunk game, video game before, right?
Not that.
Well, I mean, you're talking about a genre, right? Not the actual world of Cyberpunk. That's a new IP.
Yeah, because Cyberpunk is not a new IP, but it is a new game IP. I don't know. It's a tough one.
I mean, Shadowrun's a thing.
Yeah, but it's not. You know what I'm saying? It's not Cyberpunk. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What's weird is Cyberpunk 2077 is like, it is the most vanilla Cyberpunk thing ever. Like, it, in terms of like the genre, it is like straight up vanilla cyberpunk, but it's also kind of the only straight up cyberpunk game out there, which is just fucking weird.
Yeah Brett, that's why when I play, I'm like, I've never played a game like this before, because I haven't, you know, like, yeah, just pure
established genre, which is so weird.
Yeah, no, it is weird, because I'm like how come no game has ever made me feel like I'm living in Akira and RoboCop before? You know,
What's weird is there's games that kind of go close, but they always skew sci-fi at the last second. It was like afraid. It's like people were afraid to go like real, actual, gritty sci-fi or cyberpunk. And I've played some good games. I'd actually love if anybody's like can think of another cyberpunk game that is straight up just even still cyberpunk.
There is one that oh my god, it's like an indie game, and even had the dude from Blade Runner in it, the bad guy doing the voice.
It's not called Absolver. It's something else. I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, that was very very Blade Runner cyberpunk, Brett, if you know what I mean.
I mean, because there's Shadowrun, but so like I don't know what this game you're talking about is it? It's not a CRPG, right? Because
no, it's on consoles.
No,
CRPG. So also, like a computer RPG.
Also, you know, Shadowrun is also a pen and paper game, just like Cyberpunk was.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, Cyberpunk, I believe Shadowrun is a video game too in the 90s, didn't it?
No, yes, it just came out with like three of them.
Yeah.
There was
one in the 90s too, though, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely one.
There was two games in the 90s. There was the one that was for the Genesis and the one for the Super Nintendo.
Yes, and they were both very different from one another.
Yeah, yep. One was garbage.
Yeah. You know what? I'm gonna say Cyberpunk counts, even though there is that asterisk. Like, oh, it's actually the IP from the 80s. You know? Yeah, because that game.
Yeah, like clarify again, what Tony's saying. It's not just a genre. It is actually an IP as well as a genre. It's yes. Super confusing. it's like a Kleenex tissue paper kind of thing. It got super fucking confusing, but there is an actual IP game called Cyberpunk that started as a pen and paper thing and inspired the genre that's named after it. So that's where shit just gets weird, which is why I'm sure Cyberpunk has the 2077 on there for legal distinction. I guarantee you that's why.
Yeah, for sure. All right. I, by the way, what are some other genres that I found here? Nobody's going to say Ghost of Tsushima.
Ghost of Tsushima is a good one.
I mean,
but I don't like the sequel, though.
I mean, you don't need to like the sequel. You just say Ghost of Tsushima.
That is true.
Because remember, Ghost of Tsushima, theoretically, Ghost of Yote is a sequel, but theoretically, Ghost of Tsushima is also its own title.
Yeah, that's true. I also would have said Horizon.
They are the same IP.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chris. Huh?
Does Nier Automata count?
I think no, because Nier came out. But I know what you mean, though. But Nier came out a while ago. No. But remember, the question is not about Cyberpunk. the question is new IP since 2016, and Nier has been around before that.
They're so different.
Yeah.
Almost like completely different things, but I get it. But The Division did come out 2016.
Oh, shit. But it's not your favorite, though.
Well, Division 2.
That's Adam's favorite.
I haven't played the first one, but yeah, we played the second one. I loved it. But there's a bunch of others, too, like Stellar Blade. I enjoyed that.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, there you go. By the way, Chris, you're roboting a little bit, just letting you know. Stellar Blade, that's a good one. And I'm pretty sure for some people, it might be Crimson Desert. You know?
Oh my.
Mm-hmm.
Oh shit, I just realized Valheim is in that.
What's up, Brett?
I just realized Valheim's in this window.
It is.
Yes.
It is. By the way, shout out to Brian who's joining us. Brian, the question is, what is your favorite new game IP that came out since 2016?
Ooh. Why good question. Why 2016?
Last 10 years. Like in the last 10 years. So it's not a game that came, not IPs that came out in 2016, but from 2016 to 2026, new IP.
Okay, let me sim on that question.
I'm still trying to answer this one. My answer is Cyberpunk. I don't give a fuck. Yeah, I know it's a pen and paper. I don't give a fuck. I'm going with it. That's the game I'm already halfway thinking about going back because of the PS5 Pro update, you know? That'll be like my fourth playthrough of the game. Like, this game is good, man.
Yeah, but Tony, the 2077 is a new IP.
Yes, so that can't. There you go. That's my hook. Thank you, Brett. That's my hook. Rich, do you have anything while we give Brian time to think?
Yeah, this is a very dangerous question to ask me at this particular moment.
Oh, yes, right.
So I will say this because, you know, my other answer was going to be something that was already mentioned, and that would be Stellar Blade. That's 100%. I really enjoyed that game, and I'm looking forward to seeing where they take that franchise.
Yeah, for sure. Oops, sorry about that. All right, anyway, hold on a second here. I fucked up. I was trying to open up something. There we go. Go ahead.
Shout out to Clair Obscur. Expedition 33. That's another one that deserves a lot of praise, and definitely something that I really enjoyed. And it's definitely a new IP.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Brian, you got anything?
It's been a nice scramble trying to get an answer because it is difficult.
It is.
Most of them, well, have already been said. And most of them are either just on the cusp. I mean, Dragon's Dogma was 2012, 2013. So I can't say Dragon's Dogma 2. And it's just like, yeah. Cyberpunk, good one. I can't technically say Space Marines because that's also just outside the window. So I think I'll go with Pacific Drive.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
2024.
By the way, the reason I laughed before was because a Serena for said, Tony, you know it's Starfield, baby. Oh, man. Good stuff. All right. Move on here. Last question of the night. Do you think Square Enix can turn Final Fantasy around like Capcom did with Resident Evil? It'll be tough. This is why. For the mainline games, Resident Evil only had one fucked up game for the mainline games. Then they course corrected real quick. We've had like almost 20 years of ups and downs with Final Fantasy. You know, so course correcting will be a little tough now, you know? I would hope so, but I can't answer for sure if they can or not. I'm probably going to say they can't because, those same people that were there making those games are all gone. At least with Resident Evil, some of the old guys are still there. Like, yo, we did this, we did that, you know? You don't have that with Square Enix anymore. All those old guys are gone now, you know? So I don't know, man. I don't think so. But it would be nice if we get it back to some semblance of, like, relevance.
It'd be an interesting because Resident Evil did also have took a break.
It did, yes.
Between 6 and 7, there was a little bit of a break, and then they sort of redid it. So maybe that's the thing. But then at the same time, what does Square Enix have that can fit in that space, that could fill that space of a Final Fantasy? I don't think they legitimately have anything.
Yeah, because it'll take 50 years to come out with new Dragon Quest. It takes too long, you know? That doesn't count.
Yeah, with Dragon Quest game, you know, like, yeah. Like, if anything, those two games had to have been, like, you know, in and out, right? One comes out, then the other one comes out.
Yeah.
One comes out, then the other comes out. That's the way they really should do it. But, yeah, so I feel like what can fit in that? What does Square Enix have besides those two cornerstone RPGs? And then obviously they do have their tenure of older games. So what do? Do a remake of an old game like they've been doing with Secret of Mana?
Like they have been doing, and Final Fantasy VII.
And Final Fantasy VII, like, you know, it's a tough one.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. This is what Square Enix should do.
Uh-oh.
They should put a lot of the eggs in their basket for the third and final Final Fantasy VII remake game, which is still pretty highly anticipated, and then be like, I'm gonna make a call to Nintendo. Let's make another Super Mario RPG game, and then that shit will be crazy. That shit will sell like crazy, and won't take as long, because those don't take that long compared to like a Final Fantasy game. And what they should do is they should be like, okay, for the next mainline of Final Fantasy game, let's make it turn based. And yes, the DNA of the old Final Fantasy game or turn-based games are not there anymore, but at least they do have a good pedigree in terms of Octopath Traveler and Dragon Quest and those games. So you can leverage some of those folks, or maybe they already leveraged those folks for all these games. I don't know how they work for the development, but they could use, you know, the bright minds that make Dragon Quest games, because they still do really well and they're really popular. They could definitely leverage those folks for that.
I want to double down on what you said and kind of add that I kind of think that they have to a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I mean, look, maybe I'm the only one seeing it this way because I'm an old head, but to Square Enix, motherfucker, you really going to let the new kid in town that's left from the scraps at Ubisoft walk into your house and eat your lunch, show you how it's done, old man? Like, can you not do turn-based anymore? You retire, be like, oh, turn-based just can't be done. Market's not there. Then these motherfuckers come in and sweep the game awards with something you discarded. You gonna let that shit stand? Because I say if there's anything left of developer there, you're gonna go back to turn-based or you're fucking admitting defeat. You gonna sunset your own studio? What's it gonna be?
Yeah. Yeah, no, again, you don't have, you no longer have the excuse of turn-based games don't sell. Yes, they fucking do. You know,
it's not that you can't make turn-based games. It's not that turn-based games can't be made and sold. It's a question of, can you, the godfather of turn-based games, still make and sell them?
Yeah, that's exactly. And again, they have been releasing turn-based games for a while, so it's like, it's not like this unheard of for you guys. Just do it for your main fucking franchise. You do it for every other franchise except your main one. So come on now.
Yeah, and the whole thing where my suggestion when making a Super Mario RPG 2 or 3, I don't know which one they are, and I definitely won't have one. If they make a Super Mario RPG game, that shit'll sell like crazy, and that'll keep, you know, Square Enix fed for a couple of more years.
You know, Dumeke will buy like 5 copies himself, you know?
You know?
Yeah, shout out to you, brother. All right, anybody else have any thoughts on Final Fantasy coming back from the dead?
I want to add, like, in the new Super Mario RPG, can they please have an emulator built within the Super Mario RPG? Like, you go into the house, go to the emulator, play the old school one, please.
Okay.
Yeah. They did have a remake.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, a few years ago, too.
Yep. I know Toolmaker was talking about it, too.
Toolmaker.
Shout out, you know. Godzilla, man, let's go, son. I'm seeing that shit all over my timeline now. Dude's a hype. You know, by the way, shout out to my unofficial cousin, Joey Polanco. He already tagged me. Yo, Tony, Godzilla, son. Every time there's Godzilla news, I get tagged by like 10 people, you know. They know what's up.
Is it this year?
I think it is. Excuse me. I could be wrong. Carlos, if it comes out this year, hold on. This year might be too make it. You know.
This year is crazy. This is a movie getting.
This is the year. This is the one.
This is it.
You're getting a Spider-Man movie.
I'm not watching that bullshit.
You get a Doctor Doom movie.
You barely stay with the bullshit ones.
You get Supergirl, Dune. You get an Odyssey.
You got your Supergirl with
you got Robo. Toy Story.
Yeah. Oh man. Yo, hold on. When is Godzilla Minus Zero coming out, son? Minus a zero. 2026. Minus kara. Yo, when is this bitch coming out? I think it. Oh, Carla. And it's worldwide.
Oh,
no, November 6th. Let's fucking go. And then the month after that,
that's gonna be a lot of movies at the end of the year.
It's a lot of movies. A lot of flims. I still gotta watch that. What's his face? Project Hail Mary. I heard that's really good.
Yeah, but
I'm on the fence. I'm like, it's an Amazon movie. Maybe I should just wait, you know? I don't know. Man, $25 to see that shit.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that up in New York they want to charge you as much as a meal to go to see a fucking movie.
Yeah. Manny, even the matinee is $20, man.
Wait, what? Why are they even calling that a matinee?
Because it doesn't cost $25. That's why.
Does it cost $25? They dropped $10. They just dropped $5. Come on, man. Matinee was like $10.
It used to be. Not here. And that's the cheap one. Yeah, I'm talking about the Kauffman Theater that's close to me. The city, obviously, they're way more even for matinees, man. It's crazy. That's why I don't go to movies as much. That's why I'm very selective about what I go see. It's a lot of fucking money, you know?
Movie in to do something about them prices, man. Like, you know, you're going to get
pricing out the regular person.
Yeah, like, well, you know, you gotta get more, you get more asses in seats by having cheaper prices.
Yeah. Although I have gone, the only movies I've really gone to see recently are like re-releases. Like the last one I saw was Ninja Turtles. That was awesome, you know? Anyway, this is not the movie down. This is the throwdown, and we're done. So let's start wrapping it up. A couple plugs. I will start with, you know, we've already mentioned it, at least a video game, so we'll talk about the show. Go check out the Invincible podcast over on the Coalition Entertainment YouTube channel, hosted by me and joined by Chris and Rich and Carlos and Dana. We're talking about the latest episode, which is episode 6, another good one. They're doing a hell of a job, and we got 2 more episodes to go, man. So, you know, it's gonna be wild. It's gonna be wild. And Rich, what else is coming up on the Coalition this week? I expect there's gonna be some interesting stuff that you can't talk about yet.
That is a very, very good guess, Mr. Tony. Yeah. Well, first and foremost, shout out to Mr. Adam Vale, the TV Terminal. Definitely check out his YouTube channel and a lot of the shows that he has been covering, because he's also been very busy. As for what we got coming this week, this week you would notice, if you look at the calendar, there are quite a bit of things coming out this week. So, you know, I may or may not have some stuff to say this week. But just in case, check out thecoalition.com and the Coalition Gaming, because you may see some things on both of those platforms this week.
Yeah, and we may or may not talk about those things on Throwdown this Thursday, so stay tuned. Yes. Right. Manny, do you have anything?
There will be a special thing that's going to be happening tomorrow or Monday with the Boston Celtics. I can't go into full detail as to what that is, but remember that Kari and I are doing cheer card illustrations for the Boston Celtics. So if you're watching the game or going into them, keep an eye on your seat, because there's a really cool piece of artwork, may or may not be.
That's fun
for you. So yeah.
By the way, Rich, have you seen all those rage quit videos of Invincible Versus? It's hilarious.
Oh yeah.
I'm guessing ridiculous, because a lot of casual people are going in there, think, oh, I love the show, and then they go in there and get their ass beat, and like, when you lose in a fighting game, you can't blame your team. It's all on you. You know?
Oh man. They need to have the casual room for those kids.
Yeah.
Those people.
Right? Oh man. But you know, hopefully go ahead.
That's gonna make people not want to play that game.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, with the beta, it's all online. So, you know, hopefully the full game will have like the story and all that stuff. What's this? Pablo Fumbale, Call of Duty, I support. I have Black Ops 6 and 7. There you go. All right, man, let's wrap it up here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord. And check us out on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch. Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Manjoma.
Later, later, people.
All right, guys, we shall return on Thursday. Later.
Later.